The subject of tonight's message is Until Then. In less than an hour, we will cross over into 2025, and asking you a question: was 2024 this year an easy year for all of you and for all of us? I doubt so, because we have seen that the year ended with the tragedy at the Muan Airport in South Korea, and on top of that, we see all the global challenges in front of us: the political tension, the political instabilities, and the ongoing wars, and the bleak economy outlook, and the moral decadence that is happening in the world, and not to mention our own trials and tribulations that we face each moment of our lives. And so people are concerned whether 2025 will be the same as 2024. And many are filled with trepidation, with much anxieties. What would happen in 2025? Some are just crossing their fingers to go into their new year. Some are hinging their hopes on Donald Trump to make not just America great, but the world great again. But for us as His redeemed children, is there until then when things will turn out well, like the song we have just sung? It is so uncertain, isn't it? As believers, despite the turbulence we are going through life, only God can provide us that stability, that peace. And God alone, who is the pilot of our life, will land us safely. So God's until then is therefore a sure hope for everyone who is in Christ, His redeemed child of God. So the hymn Until Then that we have just sung rightly says, "This very world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the sky." What a glorious until then that is waiting for us. And the prophet Jeremiah's prophecy in this chapter 29, came in the year 597 BC. It was the second wave of the exiles to Babylon after the Babylonians attacked Jerusalem or Judah. And the first wave happened 8 years before 597 BC, which is 605 BC. So Jeremiah was challenging at this time the false prophets, of whom some of them were deported to Babylon. So in Babylon, there were these false prophets continuing to give a falsehood to the exiles there. And Jeremiah, who remained in Jerusalem, therefore had to arrest this problem. It's like issuing a pofma to these false prophets. Pofma is protection of the online of falsehood and manipulation act. So he wrote this letter and sent it via the hand of two men, Elisha and Gemariah, which we read in chapter 29, verse 3, if you have the Bible open before you, to warn these exiles in Babylon not to take heed to these false prophets. And these false prophets were propagating misinformation, urging the people not to serve the king of Babylon. And that is found in chapter 27, verse 9. In chapter 27, verse 16, they even disseminate this falsehood, saying that the vessels of the temple that were being looted will be returned to Jerusalem, to the temple. And the preceding chapter, chapter 28, verse 11, one of the prophets, Hananiah, even prophesied that there's not going to be 70 years of exile, but only 2 years. But God judged Hananiah, and he fell dead. So Jeremiah's message was definitely it will be 70 long years of exile, but our hope, the hope is in God. Therefore, we can see that Jeremiah, even in his prophecy, as the prophecy of judgment, yes, is also couched with comfort and hope. And to let the children of Israel who are in exile, that God's until then is when hope would be fully fulfilled. And we can see that in verse 11, which we are very familiar with this verse, that God will have thoughts of peace for his people and not of evil. And it says in verse 11, to give you an expected end. So until then, with this glorious hope that the children of Israel were waiting, they were encouraged to keep on trusting in God's promises, trusting in his presence, and trusting in his plan that is perfect for them. So let us go to this first lesson we can learn from verse 10, and that is to trust in God's promises. Jeremiah desired that God's people must have confidence in God's truth and not the falsehood that have been going around in Babylon, and that God's promises are true. And even the lies that they spew forth from these false prophets or the half-truths should never prevail. And therefore, Jeremiah wrote to these exiles or these children of Israel who were exiled that it will be 70 long years, no more, no less. God's word is yea, yea, and nay, nay. And therefore, in verse 10, he says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. So remember, Jeremiah exhorted the children of Israel, trust in God's promises. And in the preceding verses of chapter 29, verses 4 to 7, they are to wait upon the Lord for this until then that will happen to them. They have to make good of their situation and to submit to God's gracious providence. There are many words there, but just focus on the yellow highlighted words. And in verse 5, you look at verse 5, Jeremiah urged them to build houses and to dwell in them and to do some subsistence farming for themselves. And in verse 6, he asked them to start families and arrange marriages for their children so that their population will not diminish. And look at verse 7, they are to seek the peace of the city and no rebellion against the Babylonians. And they are to pray to God for the peace of Babylon and to submit to God's discipline and chastisement, whereby he says, ye shall have peace. But it was never easy for them to be captured and be in a foreign land. And Psalm 137 depicts their heart, their grief, their sorrow being captured in this Babylon. It says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. And in verse 4, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? So there was no mirth or joy because they have hung the harps on the willows. Yes, the pleasures have ceased, entertainment has ceased, and that shows how sorrowful they were in this foreign land as exiles. But God, in his mercies and sovereign rule and power, if you look at verse 10, he says, I will perform my good word. And the word says, the word perform in the original language means to stand up. Perform my good work. The word perform means to stand up. He will stand up to his good word. The Lord will stand up to his good word, meaning that God's word is his bond. God's word is his bond. And moreover, the word perform and the word place in verse 10, whereby God says they will return to the place, the word perform and the place are of the same root word also in the original language. So that shows that God says he will stand up to his word and they will return to where they have stood before in the land of Judah. And so you can see the play of words to show that God's promises are indeed true and he will fulfill them. And secondly, he reminded them that if he has the power to cause them to be exalted, whereby in verse 4 and 7 he says, whom I have caused thee to be carried away, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. Then in verse 10, what did he say? In causing you to return to this place. So you can see God's sovereign power in the affairs of his people. He has the power to drive them out. He has the power to bring them back. He is never lack of power or resources. And you must also remember the fact that God drove them away and did not even destroy them shows his mercy. So you can see he is a promise-keeping God, and he is such a powerful God, and he is such a merciful God. And so therefore, we ought to remember God's promises to us, especially when we see the world around us is full of spiritual darkness, and Satan is the father of lies, and so much untruths in this world. Whom do we believe? We can't even trust anyone today because there are so many victims of scams. Even a known number, you receive a number on your phone, you don't even dare to pick it up. You will just let it ring or just turn it around, and then after that, you just block it. So we can't trust anybody at all. And statistics of the Singapore statistics shows that for the first half year of 2024, $390 million were lost to scammers. So indeed, it's hard to trust anyone nowadays. But we praise and thank God we can trust in him. We can trust in this God who is full of truth, and his truth is absolute. And God is not a man that he should lie. And Numbers 23:19 says, God is holy. That's what Numbers 23:19 says. God is not a man that he should lie. So God is therefore holy and faithful, and he will never lie to his people or to anyone. And I would like to borrow the quote from Spurgeon. It says, no good word of his ever feared, none shall ever fall to the ground. If you miss that, I repeat again, no good word of his has ever feared, none shall ever fall to the ground. Remember that no good word of God will ever fail us, nor ever fall to the ground. God will fulfill his word and his promises for us. And verse 10 says, I will visit you and perform my good word. And if you were to read verse 11, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, I will hearken unto you. And verse 14 says, I will be found of you, I will turn away your captivity, I will gather you, I will bring you again into the place. You put yourself as the hearers of these words, as the readers of this word in Jeremiah's time, will you be greatly encouraged? And these words are for us today. May we be greatly encouraged that God is always a God who will perform his good word to us, and he will fulfill them. And as I serve in the seniors' ministry, I'm always much blessed and encouraged by our seniors in their faith in Jesus Christ. And I met one elderly lady, despite her deteriorating health and memory failing her, yet she says, "I have that peace. I have peace." In Chinese, she said, "Wo you ping an, wo you ping an." Then I asked her why. She said, because she remembered Jesus loved her. Yesu ai wo, Yesu ai wo. So it's a very simple faith, but yet a very strong faith. Despite her weaknesses, her heart was turned to God's promises that Jesus loved her. And may we be like this elderly lady, that even one day when we failed in our memory and we cannot remember anyone or even our loved ones, we must remember our Lord Jesus who loved us. And borrow Spurgeon again. He said, "My faith rests not in what I am or shall be or fear or know, but in what Christ is, in what he has done, and in what he is doing for me. My faith rests not in what I am or shall be or feel or know, but in what Christ is, in what he has done, and in what he has, in what he is doing for me." So our faith rests upon God's word, his promises, and God himself. And I particularly also like this hymn, "Day by Day." It says, "Every day the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made." So the parentheses, "thy days, thy strength shall be in measure," the Deuteronomy 33:25b, is God's word. And God promises that he will provide us with the strength that we need to face each day, no matter how challenging our circumstances may be. So until then, for the new year and for the years ahead, until then that is waiting for us is a glorious one, and we have to keep on trusting in God's promises. And the second lesson we learn is to trust in God's presence. And when we trust in God's promises, we have to trust in God's presence too. Look at chapter 29, 12 to 14. It says, "Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me. And when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord." So can you count the how many me's am I? There are five me's, two I's, two letter I's. And what does it show? That God is all out to reassure us of his abiding presence with us. And the people of God are to call or to cry out to him, and they are to pray, they are to do away with their idols and to go to the only God, the triune God, and they are to seek him. The word "seek" here means to earnestly seek, to desire, and to search. That means to seek with care, with all their heart. And what would God do? God will be found of them. It's just like a poor analogy is when you misplaced your handphone at home. What do? You forgot where you put your handphone. Does it bother you? It will bother you very much. You will hunt high and low, "Where's my phone? Where's my phone?" And you try to use another phone to call and say, "Aiya, it's on silent mode. Jialat, cannot find." and you get even more agitated. You cannot find. You want to find. You kept trying to remember, and you get all your family members to find for you. And that's that search we must have for our God. We must continue to look for Him, to seek Him. And God will never be misplaced nor lost. God will be found of us. And that is the abiding presence of God. And so for the children of Israel, this is a great comfort for them, especially when they suffer this deportation from God, especially when they see in the year 586 BC, the whole of Jerusalem, including the temple, was destroyed by the Babylonians. Yet, despite all this, God is with His people. Nothing and no one can prevent Him from being with His people. And that's what Psalm 137 says. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. So the word in hell means in the deepest center of the earth. Even that psalmist is in the deepest center of the earth, God will be there with him. What a great comfort to know that in this year 2025 that will come very soon, in less than 20 minutes, God will always be with us. So we must, like what James says, draw nigh to Him, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to us. So God's presence is with His children. Whether we sense it or not, He's there. The reality is that He is with you. And even when you're overwhelmed with many responsibilities that are ahead of you, many uncertainties, remember God's presence is with you. And if you were to read the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, chapter 1 starts with Emmanuel, being interpreted God with us. And end of Matthew chapter 28, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. So God can be found of us when we search Him. So don't run away from Him. Go to Him. Realize His abiding presence with you. And God is with us both now and for eternity. We are not afraid of anything or death anymore, because when we close our eyes to this world, we are still with God as of now on this side of eternity. And therefore, we must trust in God's promises, we must trust in God's presence, we must trust in His perfect plan. And as we know, our heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, who can know it? So do we deserve any good from God, any good thoughts from Him? But what did He say in verse 11? It's very, very amazing. It's amazing grace indeed. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. What kind of thoughts? Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And you can see the words, for I know and I think. Both eyes here is an emphatic I. It means it is written in such a way that God says, I personally, I know and I think what is thing of good of you, not evil, to give you peace and an expected end. So it's not a declaration of judgment, but a declaration of His love, His compassion, His mercies, His graciousness, His faithfulness, His covenant with His people and with us. So the God whom we believe is such a wonderful God. So may you be filled with joy and with courage and be strong as we go into 2025, as we look forward to the glorious until then. and God has plans for us, and therefore we must not let this trust in God be robbed by the devil, especially when we go through trials, especially for the people of God who were in exile under the discipline of God, because Satan loves to deceive God's people that God has left them and robbed them of their sense of this hope. And remember, Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." So God will give us an expected end. The word expected in Hebrew means tikvah. And incidentally, the national anthem of Israel is HaTikvah, the hope. And God tells us that he will give us an expected end, meaning a hopeful end. Other English translation translate it as a future and a hope. And that, so this is what God has intended for us. What is our until then? A future and a hope. A hopeful end, not a hopeless end. And therefore, we who are in Christ receive Christ's grace, his mercies, his love. Will God think evil of us? He's never the author of evil. He will think peace. He will think good for us. So if today you feel lousy because of some setbacks in life, some failures that you have encountered, you must remember, identify yourself with the gospel, with Christ. It is because of Christ, the baptism you have gone through, is because of Christ that gives us that worth, the identity, the courage to move on despite our disappointments, our failures, and discouragement. And that will help us to go into 2025. So never, never give up on life. Recently, a 43-year-old Shanghai woman, it was reported in the news, who had lupus, the autoimmune disease. And what did he do? What did she do? She booked a ticket to Switzerland, not for a tour, for sabbatical, but she booked a trip to Switzerland to undergo euthanasia. That means she ended her life with the assisted suicide. Because she has battled for 20 years, she had kidney failures, she believed that she's hopeless, there's no more use for her to live anymore. But as God's children, we are never to do that. Between life, birth and death is God's prerogative, and between these two, we have to keep on trusting in his holiness, his love, and his perfect will for us. No matter what happens to us, it is in God's plan, his permissive will for us. And as what Timothy just now he mentioned in the choir, he says, "For all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." So one more thing, and that is in verse 14 of Jeremiah 29, it says that, "And I will turn away your captivity, I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried away captive." So it's not on the screen. If you have the Bible, you can refer in verse 14, the second letter part of verse 14. You can see God says he will gather them, and he will regather them from all the nations. And that speaks about the coming, setting the stage for the second coming of Christ, when all Jews, his people, will be regathered to Israel. And we have seen the 1948, the founding of Israel, and more Jews will be going to Israel. And that will set the stage for the glorious coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is how God will secure the future and hope of his people and the Gentiles who believe in Jesus will be part of this glorious until then that we are hoping for. So may the Lord help us to know that as we step into this 2025, we don't have to cross our fingers, we don't have to hinge our hope on a man, but we hinge our hope in God himself, who promises us that he will perform his word and we can be in his presence, abiding presence, and we know that he has a perfect plan for us. And so may the Lord help us. And I would like the last slide to be shown. And it says, but until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city, until the day God calls me home. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we have a wonderful, wonderful Savior who give us a hopeful end. Our until then is a glorious one. So may we take heart and step into this 2025. Let's pray. Our Lord Jesus, we give you praise and thanks for your saving grace to help us to realize that we can trust in God's promises, his presence, and his perfect plan for us. We thank you that we will one day have this glorious until then you have in store for us. Keep our hopes up in you. Continue to give us strength and courage as we step into 2025 and the years ahead of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.